Chapter 26, Jeremiah and the False Prophets. Viewing the conditions in Jerusalem during the days of Jeremiah from our standpoint, it is easy to see that he was right. We thoroughly understand the principles of his preaching. Of course, Jerusalem was doomed on account of its inner corruption and through its fatal foreign policy. But to those who were living in Jerusalem, it was not so clear as it is to us. Jeremiah was not the only prophet in his day. As a matter of fact, there were a very large number of prophets in Jerusalem. Just as there are very many preachers among us, so were there among the Jews. And every preacher was called a prophet. Any man who believed that he had a message which the people ought to hear concerning the conditions of life and the prospects before the nation was called a prophet. We are to realize that there were a number of able preachers in Jerusalem who were telling the people the exact opposite of what Jeremiah was saying. They told them that they ought to be courageous. They ought to believe that Jehovah would preserve his city and his people. They ought to take advantage of every opportunity of resisting the Babylonian tyrant. They often quoted the grand words of the older prophets about the future destiny of Judah and declared that Jehovah would surely bring it shortly to pass. How was the common man in Jerusalem to decide who was right? Perhaps he ought to have been able to realize the moral passion of Jeremiah, and certainly he ought to have been able to see that Jeremiah spoke the truth about the iniquities in the land. But it was very hard for him to believe the message of doom that Jeremiah preached, and it was very pleasant to accept the promises of the popular preachers. The contrast between these two types of preaching became very marked in the reign of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. Jehoiakim, in spite of Jeremiah's warnings, had foolishly revolted against Nebuchadnezzar. The help which he expected from Egypt, of course, did not come. The Chaldeans advanced against Jerusalem. Jehoiakim died, and his young son, Jeconiah, succeeded him. But within 3 months, the Chaldeans were at the gates of the city. The young king and his counselors saw the folly of resisting. They opened the gates, and Nebuchadnezzar took away into Babylon the king and all the principal nobles, priests, soldiers, and artisans. Over the remnant of the nation that remained, he appointed Zedekiah, a brother of Jehoiakim. The question then seriously before Judah was whether the Jews that had been taken to Babylon would ever be able to come back. Jeremiah said that they would not return for at least 70 years. The popular preachers declared that they would speedily return, and they quoted the words of Isaiah. They declared that the great prophet Isaiah had said that Jerusalem should be chastised, but should never be destroyed. They forgot, of course, that Isaiah made his promise conditional upon the moral reformation of the people. But they could quote his words as literal scripture. Jeremiah found it necessary to speak most vehemently against these preachers. He saw that the same folly that had brought about the downfall of Israel and Samaria would produce a like result in Judah and Jerusalem. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. In the prophets of Jerusalem also I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies, and they strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them become unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith Jehovah of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is ungodliness gone forth into all the land. It was, of course, a difficult task for one preacher to warn the people against others, but Jeremiah did not flinch from it when he felt that truth demanded it, nor did he mince his words. He spoke to the people about the false prophets, as he called them, and said, Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They teach you vanity. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of Jehovah. They say continually unto them that despise me, Jehovah hath said, ye shall have peace. And unto every one that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words, and had turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Of course, these other prophets had their own means of convincing the people of their truth. They particularly laid great stress upon their dreams. They would preach to the people, or they would tell the people of some wonderful dream that they had, which they would proceed to interpret in the way they seemed to them best. With fine scorn, Jeremiah speaks for Jehovah concerning these dreamers. I have heard what the prophets have said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies, even the prophets of the deceit of their own heart, that think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers forget my name for Baal? The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the straw to the wheat? Behold, I am against them that prophesy lying dreams, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their vain boasting. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, neither do they profit this people at all, saith Jehovah. Jeremiah felt it to be particularly important that the people should not commit the awful folly of making another rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar. The city had been saved from ravage by opening its gates. If there should ever be a long siege, the result would be terrible. He therefore planned one of his striking symbolic actions. He came into the city with a yoke around his neck. It was probably just the kind of yoke that was put upon a bullock to enable him to draw a plow or a cart. It was a sign, of course, of subjugation, and Jeremiah said everyone must wear the yoke of subjugation to Nebuchadnezzar for the time being. Of course, we can see that he was right and that any other policy was madness, but the Jews of Jerusalem were not pleased with such an idea of subjection. One of the foremost of the popular preachers on the optimistic side was Hananiah. He met Jeremiah in the temple courts one day and declared that he had a message from Jehovah. Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of Jehovah's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will again bring to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went to Babylon, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah very quietly answered that he earnestly wished that the words of Hananiah might be true. No one would be more glad to believe in the return of the exiles than himself. The event must show who was speaking the truth. Hananiah had the ear of the people that day, and he thought that he would preach a symbolic sermon himself. So he went up to Jeremiah and pulled off the yoke that was upon his neck and broke it in two. He turned around to the people and said, Even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, within 2 full years. Jeremiah was confused by the action and by the evident satisfaction of the people in Hananiah's conduct, and he went away to think over the matter and to pray. Jehovah gave him the message that while the prophet had broken the yoke of wood, there was a yoke of iron that he could not break. Jeremiah returned to the temple the next day and spoke these stern words to his opponent. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, Jehovah hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will send thee away from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast spoken rebellion against Jehovah. The fact that Hananiah died in that same year made a great impression on the people. Jeremiah saw the importance of helping the exiles in Babylon to understand that they were to remain in that land. As they were stirred by the hopes of other prophets to believe that they were speedily to return, they would make no use of the opportunities that were offered them in Babylon. They were not in slavery. Nebuchadnezzar wished them to form an agricultural population in the vicinity of his capital, and he gave them large opportunity for so doing. Jeremiah knew that it would be a very long time before the course of political events would make it possible for the kingdom of Judah to be reestablished in power. He therefore strongly advised the exiles to be content. He wrote them a very beautiful and touching letter. It was full of comfort and hope. Earnestly it warned them not to be deceived. Very graciously it held out the hopes of the future. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all the captivity, whom I have caused to be carried away captive from Jerusalem into Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. And multiply ye there, and be not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto Jehovah for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets that are in the midst of you and your diviners deceive you, neither hearken ye to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them. After 70 years are accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. And ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. This letter was exceedingly annoying to the prophets in Babylon, who were preaching speedy deliverance, so much so that one of them wrote a sharp letter to the priest in Jerusalem, who had charge of the temple, asking him why he did not enforce the law against Jeremiah. He told him that it was his business to put such troublesome and treasonable men into the stocks. The letter was read to Jeremiah, who simply answered that the man who had written the letter would not live to see the good that should come to God's people.